when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Helen.
And you're listening to the Squiggly Careers Podcast. This episode is part of our Skills Sprint series. We've recorded 20 episodes, each less than 7 minutes long, that we hope are going to help you to build some career development momentum. In every episode, we talk about a squiggly skill, what it is and why it matters, share an idea for action each, and give you a go-to guru and a podcast episode so you can learn more. And we want you to turn your skills sprint into a learning streak. And so for everyone who completes a 20-day learning streak, we'll be offering you a free 5 skills to succeed in a squiggly career virtual workshop in September. If you post about your progress on social and tag us at AmazingIf, and we'll be in touch to tell you more.
This sprint is all about the skill of questioning. And sometimes I think people just take questions as a skill, as given, like we all ask questions. But actually, it is something that we can invest and improve as a skill for our squiggly careers. And it is one that when we get really good at it, it has lots of big benefits for our careers. So better questions help us to understand ourselves more. So it increases our self-awareness. It also helps us to understand other people too. It means that we're better able to get unstuck from situations that might feel complicated or complex. Lots of the things that we might find a bit messy in a squiggly career, the ability to question ourselves helps us to sort of navigate through that. And it also means we unlock new knowledge. Somebody once said to me in an interview, actually, someone very senior at Microsoft, we're just having a debate about learning and knowledge, which is great. But they
of course it was
great. I was like, this is going to be the right company for me. But I remember we were talking about when you ask someone questions, you're creating space for new knowledge, because it's almost in that sort of unlocking that curiosity that you're allowing new knowledge to be formed. So, you know, these are really big benefits. Awareness, getting unstuck, getting new knowledge are big, big foundational things that enable us to succeed in squiggly careers.
So our first idea for action here is a simple one, but one that sometimes I think we forget, or it's also easy to get wrong. And that is to ask ourselves and each other open questions. So a couple of hacks here to make sure that you do this. The 5 W's and the 1 H, who, what, where, why, when, and how, and TED, tell, explain, describe. I still sometimes find myself asking a closed question. Did you enjoy that podcast today? And that's a closed question, yes or no. Every time I do that, I just re-ask the question in an open way and it feels like a different question. So if someone said, yeah, great episode, then I would say, oh, what was it that you particularly enjoyed? And then you get some useful insight, you get some data for your development, you learn something new. So if you do spot yourself asking a closed one, never panic, just kind of re-ask it and it will always feel different.
And the second idea for action that we've got is taken from one of the free toolkits on our website, AmazingIf.com, which is all about different types of questions. And there are 4 different types of questions that you can ask, and it is useful to reflect on which one of these do you do well and which one would you like to do more of. So the 4 questions, first of all, there's an elevating question, which is really good for zooming out. It's things like, you know, what's the why behind the work? You're really kind of taking a slightly bigger view of what you're doing. There's the funneling questions. Those ones are all about zooming in. That's sort of, you know, what data do we have about this thing that we're trying to do? Or who have we spoken to do about this project or this process? The third type are adjoining questions. They're really, really helpful for connecting the dots. So I guess they're more about breadth than depth. So how will this thing impact that team, for example? And the last one is a clarifying question. These are really good for getting to shared understanding, which can lead to greater commitment. So can you describe that a little bit more? Can you share the key objective for this thing that we're working on today? Those things that really align everybody. So Sarah, which one do you do well and which one would you like to try out and do a bit more of?
So I'm a natural elevator, so I love a zoomed out question. And one of the things I have to watch out for there is sometimes zoom out questions can feel confrontational. So if Helen describes something to me and I say to her, so what, like, why are we working on that? Or how does that connect to our team goals? Sometimes it can feel like a question where you're sort of implying that should have already been done, which is never my intention. So I'm always very careful because I am naturally a zoom out questioner, but I will always think about how do I ask that question in a way that is supportive. But they are the ones that I'm good at. In terms of what I would like to improve, I think I have started over the last year to ask more funneling questions. So the opposite of zooming out, zooming in. So rather than just assuming something is right, actually asking more questions around things like data. So rather than just thinking this is a great idea, like what data do we have to support that this is a great idea? Or what have we learned so far about the most popular podcast episodes from what we know are the most listened to ones? So I think I've started to zoom in more, which is helping me to just challenge myself in terms of things like priorities for our team and priorities for you and I. But I have to think about that one a bit more. It doesn't come as naturally. What about you?
First of all, I've definitely seen you doing those and I think you're doing it really well. And mine are slightly different. So I think I am a natural clarifier because I want to understand the detail and kind of how it works. And I like to move forward with clarity and create clarity for other people. So I think that one just feels easy and natural for me. I think I'm more consciously trying to do the adjoining connecting the dots questions. So in the past, Sarah and I might have committed to something without really kind of thinking through, oh, what's the impact on the resource? What might we need to say no to? And so I'm trying when we move things forward to make sure I ask some questions that help us to connect the dots. How will that impact somebody else? How will that impact the project that we're doing? And again, I think they can feel confrontational if it's not your natural style, but I definitely see the benefit of it when I see other people doing those questions. So it's just to think about stretching your questioning skills.
Also, if you're smart, you'll spot what kinds of questions you're typically going to get asked from different people. Helen never fails to ask me a clarifying question, so I just know that it's coming. And I think that's the same actually in a few organisations and teams that I've worked with. So our go-to guru here is Tom Pullman and Neethi Mary Thomas, who wrote a brilliant article in Harvard Business Review called Relearning the Art of Asking Questions. And if you'd like to learn a bit more by listening to another podcast episode, number 216 is all about how to ask better questions.
Thank you for listening to the Skill Sprint. We hope you found it useful. We would love for you to subscribe so you don't miss any of the Sprint episodes in this series. And also to let us know how you are getting on, tagging us in your posts. But that is all for this episode. So bye for now.
Bye, everyone.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.